Fantastic. Everyone good? Wonderful. So Pastor Andy this morning is in South Wales, right? South Wales, yeah. He's in a church in South Wales preaching revival to the Welsh. It's a praise God. Let's just believe. Let's just pray for Pastor Andy right now, actually. Let's just lift our hands. Father, we just thank you for our incredible senior leader. Father, that he's the one that leads us, Father, as he follows you. Father, we just pray that as he's over in Wales this morning at the church, Father, preaching your kingdom, let there be a stirring in the spirit in that place. Father, we pray, let revival break out over in Wales, Lord. We pray, Father, as he speaks this morning, heaven would move over that place, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. I'm looking forward to hearing the good things. Isn't it great that we serve such an incredible leader and leaders in Pastor Andy and Pastor Gina, who are international in their kind of makeup. And sometimes you can get caught up in thinking, it's Pastor Andy and Pastor Gina. And I did that for years, but actually they're sought after people. People all over Europe, people all over the world call on them for their advice and their leadership and their ability and their knowing of God. So we are very blessed, and I want to encourage you, you're very blessed when we get such incredible leaders here in Portsmouth. Amen? Fantastic. Massive welcome to each and everyone. If you're new for the first time, my name's Pastor Sean. My wife, Pastor Paula, was on the stage earlier. I think I've got a bit of I think she might have given something to me, you know. My voice is starting to go a bit quirky as well. But she was the one on the stage earlier this morning. She's in Welcome Home. And a massive welcome to everyone watching online as well. So we're in our series. For those that have been here for the last few weeks, we've been in a series about reaching our world. Everyone enjoying the series? Anyone felt challenged? Me too. Like, it's been a series that is kind of one of those that leaves you thinking, got to do something. Can't just sit here and be, just going to church on a Sunday. Do you know what I started to have a picture of this week as I was, and there's many pictures God shared, and I'll probably come out as I'm preaching this morning and sharing the word. But one of the things that I want to encourage you about, that this isn't a place where you get filled up. Can I just encourage you in that? This is a place where you let your overflow flow out. And I believe this was a word that God gave me, because too often we think we're going to church to get filled up for the week. Let me change the shift on that. Monday morning is when you get filled up. Tuesday morning is when you get filled up. Wednesday morning is when you get filled up. And throughout the week, you get filled up. So when you turn up on Sunday, there is an overflow of God's people flowing in the room. Rivers of living water. Amen. Because otherwise it's a dry and parched land if we're believing that Sunday God will speak, but by next Saturday I need to be refilled. Listen, I want to encourage you. That's not the way of a Christian or a disciple of God, amen? We need to be being filled continually. I love being filled by God's presence, and I love the fact that I don't have to rely on a church service to fill me up. I can get in the presence of God right in my front room, in my bedroom, in the bathroom if you want. You can get in the presence of God in wherever you need to be. Why? Because he goes with you. Amen? I want to encourage you in that. So we've looked at a few things. Pastor Paula shared right at the beginning about God wanting a big family. And I think he does. Look around. This is part of God's family. But significantly, there are billions of Christians across the face of the earth that believe in Jesus, which means God has a huge family. Amen? Imagine being I've got 3 kids. Imagine having 2 billion kids, plus all the ones that went before. That sounds like a nightmare to me, I'll be honest with you. I struggle with 3. And I feel like I've got this thing with our kids at the moment. They've hit this kind of area of life where it's just like a whirlwind all the time. You got one. Once you calm that one down, you look around. Oh, they're up. And you're like, you're balancing all this thing. And just sometimes it goes right. But 99% of the time, it's a whirlwind. 2 billion, nah, thanks. But God wants a big family. And family we have, amen. And the name of our church is Family Church. But we were encouraged as well about the thought of the power of one. Every one of us reaching one person, which mathematically means the church doubles, right? If everyone reached one, the church doubles, amen. Wouldn't that be incredible? And I really felt God envision me with this, that we should be a church of 1,000 people in this room. And I don't even know if we could fit them in, but as I was spending time with God this week, I really felt envisioned that if every one of us just brought one, so quickly we would be a church of 1,000 people stood in this room, because we're 500 on a regular basis. Wouldn't that be incredible? 1,000 of us lifting up the name of Jesus in this hall. Who's believing with me with that? Come on. When two or three are gathered. Amen. So we looked at the power of one. Everyone reached one person. And then Pastor Andy shared about bringing people starts with our household. And I think this is really significant and really important. But sometimes one of the hardest things, I remember when I first got saved, I don't know what the word is for it. I'm often called passionate. I was over passionate, I think, when I did this. So when I got saved, I was like to my family, you need to believe in God. And I was like overzealous in a way. Like I was and I think I did more damage than good because I think they were like, what is this guy on? What is this guy? But you know what? We've got to have a heart for our families, right? We've got to have a heart for our families. And I learned to calm down and start to pray in the background because I knew prayer was the power that unlocked something significant. When often your family have seen you all your life and then all of a sudden you get saved, it's very hard for them to understand, but you're that person. How are you this new person or this new creation? So we've got to learn to pray for our families and we've got to have a heart that prays for our families because that, I believe, will unlock something that we can't do in our own strength, amen. And listen, my mum then come and got saved. My sister who sat over there come and got saved. And I know that through the power of prayer, the rest of my family will come. But it's a journey. But God wants not just us, but our households as well, amen. Amen. So let's be encouraged by that. And then last week, Pastor Annie shared about seeing your world as a mission field. God has caused you to reach. And I think there's all of these interlink so well, but I love that. And Pastor Annie shared that. Who did the circle? Hands up if you took the bit of paper home. Kazzy, couple of hands went up. Make sure you do the homework, guys. Come on. I don't want to have to tell you off. Because you know what they did in the other congregations? They did it in the congregation. I thought that would be too difficult with everyone in the room. So I trust that you went home and did it. But the reason why we do that is because when you see them on paper, you can pray for them daily. Pray for them and lift them before your Heavenly Father. Because why? Prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer isn't just an add-on thing that we do. Prayer works. Prayer is the power to unlock in heaven. Prayer is the power to see people being saved. The most unreachable people, you can go into your closet at home and say, I'll pray for you. Watch what happens. Because why? God works behind that. God is able to break chains. When they are resisting, you can pray and see chains being broken. Prayer is the answer for this next thing we're about to enter into. I've got this thing on me at the moment about prayer. Like prayer's just gone to a different level on my heart. So it's going to keep coming out and I may keep encouraging and you may get annoyed with me. I am sorry about that. But we've got to love prayer. So Pastor Andy shared about our mission field and I think this is important to have vision of who we're trying to reach. And there was the slide that you saw, but Pastor Andy mentioned about his soul winner book and I said that we could kind of sell it and I want to kind of try and get it to you guys. So there's a couple of slides, two things I'm going to mention here at the beginning. We've got a Soul Winner Masterclass on the 12th of July. So 9:30 to 5, learning lifestyle evangelism with Pastor Andy Elms, which is going to be amazing. Anyone done Soul Winner? Give me a wave. There's quite a few of us. It's brilliant. If you haven't done it, I encourage you to come along to be not just listening to a good speaker, but to have impartation. Because that's what we believe in, impartation. That actually, Pastor Andy carries this incredible evangelistical gift. It just flows from him. It's a gift. It's a charisma. It's something that God has inputted into him. And when you're in that and you have a chance to receive, you can receive what he has. He can impart to you the very gift so that you can walk in the fullness of it. Amen? So listen, if you haven't done it, I encourage you, the 12th of July, 9:30 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, come along to the Empower Centre Portsmouth, and you're going to have an incredible time with Pastor Andy. You can sign up. We can give you the information afterwards, the QR code there. And then also the book that we mentioned about that Pastor Andy said, his book that he wrote for anyone who wants to see souls being saved in their life. Soul Winner, you can get the discount code as well. Loads of stuff. Go to that QR code. It's all on there. But I just want to encourage you to get ready for what's ahead. The reason this book is so brilliant is because it prepares us to go and reach our world. It puts a bit of push on us to say, actually, this isn't just sitting back and relaxing. This is about seeing our world saved. Amen? And we all have different worlds. And not, I can't reach your world and you can't reach my world. But we have a responsibility to each represent, which is what we're talking today about as we finish this, represent him well in our worlds. Amen? And that's exactly the topic of today. It's growing God's family, but it's representing him well. And it's living lives that point to Christ. So let me pray before we get into the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that your word is living and is sharp. It divides between our natural thinking and our supernatural thinking. Father, where there's challenge, let us not resist today, but let us bow the knee to you. Where we feel provoked, let us humble ourselves and submit to your word today. Father, I pray that your word would go forward and it would challenge and transform even me on the stage. Cause us to walk differently afterwards, God, we pray. Let it shift something in the atmosphere of complacency, of laziness. Let it break every chain of laziness, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Fantastic. So as I said, today is the final part. Next week, we've got our one family. It's going to be incredible. And then we've got the baptisms and we've got some great testimonies that are going to be shared. But tonight, this morning, we're going to be looking at representing him well, living lives that point to Christ. Amen. We all want to do that, right? We want to live lives that point to Christ. Anyone not want to do that? Nah, yeah, see? If I told you anyone do want to do it, no one's hands go up. So I'm assuming you all want to do it, right? So what does it mean to represent? It means to be entitled to act or speak on behalf of someone, especially in an official capacity. So we have this incredible responsibility in representing Christ because we've been entitled to act or speak on behalf of him in an official capacity. And I love that thought. And when we represent someone, it means to live out the core value and culture of the one who sent you. Right? That's what we're doing. And the best picture of this would be is if I sent one of our assistant pastors Pastor Ezra to another church saying, representing family church. And he went there and he was just crazy. Not Ez wouldn't be crazy, but he was crazy. He just started kicking all the stuff about. It was like, caused a riot. They are assuming that's our church. Because why? He came in the power and the representation of the authority that sent him. So how we represent the one who sent us depicts the picture of the person to that person. You see what I'm saying? So if I go into the world and act like a crazy person, they're assuming your God must be crazy. If I go into the world and act sinful and lustful, they must say, oh, your God must love lust and sin. Why? Because I'm representing my God and everything I do is representing him. And I know my God is holy. My God is good. My God is a good, merciful God. But if I don't portray that through representation well, what do? I sell the wrong God. And I missell, I misrepresent. And so today, I really just want to provoke some thoughts around representing him well. It calls us to not in a legalistic way of, oh, I've got to be perfect, but in a relational way with him. Live from an overflow in your life that says, why would I do that crazy stuff? Because that's not representing him well, is it? And I know for me and my household, we want to represent God well in the worlds in which we live. Because we know that's how we're going to win people, right? Going in misrepresenting isn't going to do anything. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians, which this will come on your screen here, I believe. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. And it says, funny thing is, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, we know, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's one of those ones that gets used a lot. But it says in verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Two things we've been given, you've been given, not the minister, not the preacher, not you at the church, the body has been given the ministry of reconciliation, which means when you go into your world, you are an ambassador, which means a representative of the kingdom of heaven. The old is gone. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. The new is heaven's life on you now. It's walking in the power of God in your world now, which means that you walk in your world with the fullness of who God is. Amen? which you are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. So you go, you have a message of reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? Reconnecting people back to God. A message that's saying God is here for you. It's the gospel message that he died for your sins and now wants to do relationship with you. He wants to bring you back into the kingdom. And so we carry this message everywhere we go. It's a message of hand of God out to human beings. And so we've got to be careful how we represent him, because how we represent him will determine whether people want him or don't want him. And I know if I walk around being mean to everyone, abrupt with everyone, angry with everyone, they're thinking, I do not want to serve your God. He makes you angry. He makes you abrupt. He makes you crazy. So we've got to make sure that the message of reconciliation, first and foremost, is fully blazing inside of us. That we know the reconciliation of what God's done in our life. That he has transformed us. He has made all things new. That I walk in freedom, in the fullness of the Godhead. I walk in forgiveness in every area of my life. I walk in humility, in love, in power, in peace, in joy. I walk with the fullness of God, because why? He has reconciled me back to him. So I stand in that position as I enter into my world, carrying the message. Do I always get it right? No, of course, because kids wind you up. Like I said earlier, so sometimes that can cause us to be like, oh. But we walk this out with him, in relationship with him, correctly obeying what he's asking us to do, amen? Carrying the kingdom of heaven. And I love that. What a responsibility. What an honor to be an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You know, when you see an ambassador come from other nations, it's a bit like, oh, look at their car. It's sometimes got the flags on it. They kind of park where they want to park. They don't get tickets. You're thinking, oh, I wish I could do that, especially in London. And they just kind of do what they want to do. Why? Because they come significantly representing, and they get a little bit of a free thing, because it's like, it's a bit of honor. It's like there's an ambassador from another nation and they come representing this nation, and they don't come and just start joining in with our nation. They come in the fullness of who their nation is, representing it here in our nation. Well, you do the same with the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven in all its glory, in all its wonder, in all its amazement, in all its power, in all its strength. When you enter into your world as an ambassador, I get really imaginative with this. And I don't know if it's like the prophetic edge of me or if it's just my mad imagination. But sometimes when I wake up in the morning, like, I let the trumpet sounds arise. I let the chariots of fire go before me. Why? Because they do go with us everywhere we go. I walk as I'm walking down the street, not just walking, oh, well, I'm just head down. No, I walk as an ambassador of the kingdom with my head up high, walking with the fullness of the Godhead. As I said, chariots of fire in front of me, trumpet sounds. Here we go. Kingdom of heaven is here. Kingdom of heaven is here. Tesco's, get ready. Kingdom of heaven is coming in. Come on. Why? Because I am an ambassador of the kingdom. This isn't a joke. God has done this for us. So when I turn up, God's royalty turns up. His throne turns up. His power turns up. Come on, when you read the Old Testament, do you get excited about the power? When you read about Elisha and Elijah calling out fire, you think, oh, do you know what? They didn't have what you have. Jesus living on the inside of you. They would have dreamed of that. So if he's calling down fire, what can you do? Do you not know that his kingdom rules and reigns on the inside of you? This is why it's so important about how we represent him. Because I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize, oh my goodness, I did not know what I had. I let dirty rags hit heaven and I ruined the gift that God gave me. Not to sound, this is me, I'm talking about me, I'm talking about my own life. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, why didn't I use what God had given me? The full power of heaven in me, amen? So I want to encourage you this morning to start with that. As ambassadors, you have him with you, because he says he never leaves you nor forsakes you. But you have his power, his majesty, and every other part with you. So as you leave this place, go into your world, don't fall into that trap of like falling back to old ways of living. You're better than that. You belong to a kingdom that's greater than any other kingdom, that rules over every other kingdom. Amen? So there's some things I want to do, as I always do when it comes to like looking at this kind of stuff, is look at some practical things that how we then apply this to our life. And there's some really good stuff. The Bible's full of how we outwork our faith, right? You only got to read it to be encouraged and like, oh, inspired about, I want to do this. Like for me, I get mad with it. Like I'm thinking, like, as I said, if Elisha's doing that, God, come on, open the window. Let fire, come on, fire fall on my heart. Like often I'm just going mad with it in my house. But how do we live those lives that point to Christ? And I think there's some really good things that we can do and we can look at in the Bible. So we're gonna look at three things that I've written down here. And the first thing is Matthew 5:13-16. Some of you will know this. It's the moment that Jesus is speaking. And in Matthew 5, it's known as the Beatitudes. There's a moment, Matthew 5:6-7, just Jesus just speaking the most incredible thing, one thing after another, after another. Like, it was like the greatest conference the world has ever seen, this moment, I think. Like, this was just Jesus going, bam, 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 hitting them with this stuff. And I'm like, wow. But so simple at the same time. So Matthew 5:13 is called the salt and light verse. And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to kind of encourage and explain some bits. So it says, you, the church, his people that follow him, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled upon, or trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amazing, right? Simplicity, but just like, wow, that is an incredible way of being able to put something on someone to say them who you are. And what I love about these two things is salt and light, two very different things, but significant in what they do. So when we think of salt, there's two things that I think about. The first thing is preservation. Preservation. Salt is used to preserve things. They put salt on stuff to keep life added to it and make it so it doesn't rot or die quickly. And I think then if we are the salt of the earth, you have preserving life upon you, that when you walk into a dying world, people should be drawn to you because you are echoing life. Why? Because you have a preservative upon you. As I said, you're an ambassador, kingdom of heaven. Remember, you're not walking on earth. That means you have preserving life power on you because you are the salt. That people should think, oh, I want some of that. I want some of that. You shouldn't be like other people. There's something different about you. You have a preserved nature. Like, oh, it's good. I want some. That's what I hope people would get when they're around me. Like, there's something different. I don't want people thinking, yeah, he's just one of the crew. One of the boys, yeah, he joins in. Like, no, I want to be different. I don't want to be the same. I never want to be the same as anyone else. I want to be who God's called me to be. I want to carry his saltiness into the life that I live. So it keeps fresh. It should keep your life fresh. It should keep you thinking and feeling fresh. Why? Because it's salt. And being with him is being the salt of the earth. Amen? The second thing I think of when we look at it is enhances flavor. Enhances flavor. Funny story. Before I met Paula, I didn't really know seasonings. I know everyone like in any continent, any country in Africa right now are laughing at me because everything was just like dry food. Just cook it as it is. No seasons, no need. Just chicken straight in. Then Paula came in with like all of these quirky seasonings and I'm like, different level. I'm like, woo, flavor. Do you know what? That's the picture of what God is trying to explain to us. Yeah, when I say flavor, we did have the salt and pepper, but Paula started coming with all different things. A bit of this, a bit of that. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. This is getting intense. But it was good. Why? Because it created a flavor. It brought flavor out of something that I didn't know was there. And that's what salt does. It enhances. It doesn't create random flavor. It enhances the flavor, which means when you walk into your world with God's saltiness on you, because you've been in his presence, you should have a different flavor to you. People should be like, you ain't like normal people. You should have a different taste to who you are. Not that people should be eating you. People are doing that, that's weird. People are getting, that's too much seasoning if people are starting to have a nibble on you. Don't let them do that. But people should want to be around you. Because there's something about seasoned stuff that tastes good and you want more. And so when people have had an experience of normal life and then they've experienced of the salty Jesus, woo, life, trust me, you can't go back to that way of living because you've tasted the good stuff, right? So we need to allow the salt of God in our world to just season everything we touch. Season everything we touch. When we go to work, we season it with the goodness of God. We allow the saltiness and love of God to fall in that place. That when you're not there, they go, this place is different. When you're there, this place is great. Why? Because they've experienced an ambassador of the kingdom who's entered in to their workplace. A representative of heaven has been in your workplace this morning. Amen? So it preserves and enhances flavor. But he didn't just talk about salt. He also spoke about light. And I think light's a brilliant picture again of especially in this modern era, lights everywhere. Our lights are going mad this morning. They were flashing earlier. Like, but we are the light of the world. Don't you love that? That you are the light of the world. And what does light do? Two things. Firstly, takes out darkness. We've all tried like walking. I do this thing because like one of the lights is at the front of my house at the moment and then the rest of the house is dark. And I like turn that light off and I try and run through the house, often smashing my leg straight into the sofa. Because it's no good. You need light, right? Because when there's light, darkness evades itself. It removes itself. And it's really at the flick of a switch that when light is clicked on, darkness evades. That means that when you turn up, darkness has to flee. Not through effort. Light bulbs aren't pushing it. Oh, get out, darkness. They just do on. Boom, light goes. Darkness leaves. So when you turn up, and there's a thing I'm going to share about this in a minute because it's important to know the last bit of what I'm going to share. But when you turn up, light should hit darkness, darkness should flee. It's as simple as that. But also the other thing that light does is leads people to safety. As I said, I needed that running through my house. Lighthouses, think about them. When no ships can see back in the day, in the old times of no sat-nav and all that navigation systems, a lighthouse would throw a light around for safety reasons, stopping ships from coming closer and closer. Why? Because the light could be seen and help people to safety. The other thing I think about is cat's eyes. When lights hit the reflectors on the road, how it lights the road up and helps us see the direction in which we go. Even from a far way off, even when it's pitch black, if those cat's eyes are light up, I'm like, I know the road. Down the A3, when we were living in London, there was a moment when I think all the cat's eyes had broken and I was just praying in the spirit, like, oh Lord, because it was so dark and I could not see a thing. It's scary when there's no light to direct you. Even with our beamed lights on, I couldn't, it was just so dark. But when you have a light that's leading you, it leads us to a place of safety. And the light of God inside of you should cause others to feel like they're being directed to safety. Feeling like, do you know what? There's hope. I think there's a way out. I think there's, you know, because life can be crushing sometimes. And then light turns up and it feels like there's hope. Amen? The Message version. We'll have a quick look at this because this is going to appear on the screen. Have we got the Message version of this? I love this. So it says this. Let me tell you what you are. I love that. Let me tell you what you are. You're here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Don't worry. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors. Isn't that beautiful? The God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think. I'm going to hide you under a bucket. Do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. This generous Father in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? The way it puts it, that actually your life will enable others to either come closer to God or go further from God. That as representatives, we alone The world can't do it. We need to be their light. We need to be the saltiness. We need to bring the God flavors and the God colors out in our worlds. But it can't be done if we sit in darkness and pretend that we're not Christian. We have to be the light. And how do we do this? And I'll be honest with you, this comes from what I said earlier. You need to be in the secret place with God. You need to be on Monday morning praying and seeking the Lord, that he would envision you to live the life that you are called to live. Finding him in your everyday worlds. Amen. I know that's what worked for me. That actually, the more I drew closer to him in my secret place, in the place in my home, not here, but away from here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's where my saltiness grew. Why? Because I was growing closer to the one who gives it. I was growing closer to the one that gives life. And so the more I drew closer to him, the more my flavor started to, and all I wanted to do was talk to people about God. Do you know when you don't spend time with him, you become dry? You ever tried driving a car on empty? Just chugs along and then eventually breaks down on the side of the road. A car full will get you to where you're getting. We need to be full of God's presence. We need to have a life that's being filled continually, seeking him in our quiet place. Otherwise, we're just going into the world and we won't bear much light and we won't taste very good. Amen. The second thing. So the first thing is we need to be the salt and the light. The second thing, that this one can be kind of hard. I think we find it in 1 Peter. And actually, Paul would often write as well in many of his epistles to churches, encouraging in the same thought. And this is what I call submission in suffering. Because if we're going to represent God well, we can't just represent him when it feels good. Sometimes people aren't going to like us. Sometimes people are going to laugh at you. Sometimes people are going to not want to be your friend because why? You represent something different. Sometimes when you shine light, darkness doesn't like it and wants to run, so therefore it'll push back on you. But that doesn't mean we then bow down to darkness. We submit to him even in the suffering, amen? It says this in 1 Peter 2, verses 11 to 12. And we can read a bit more, but I'm just going to keep it to this for today. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." So what he's speaking to here is a bunch of people that weren't from that place. There's many people here today that aren't from this place. And sometimes for you, it may feel awkward walking around because you may not feel like you fit in. This is an encouragement for you. You belong here. Why? Because God's called you here. You don't bow down to the culture of this country. You bow down to the culture of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And you submit to the rule and reign of God. But he's speaking to a bunch of people that were living in a foreign land. Live such good lives among the pagans. Who were the pagans? The people that didn't know God. The people in our worlds. The people that just served whatever they wanted. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Do you know when the day he visits us is there's various commentaries that you can read about what that actually means. But there's many scriptures that speak about that. When we represent God well, people will glorify our Father in heaven. God will get the glory. And what does that mean? Then surely the effect of our life has caused them to understand who God is. Because you don't give God glory unless you know him. But it comes from us submitting even when it's hard. And I encourage you in that. I've been in workplaces where it's difficult. You're thinking, no, well, everyone's going to think I'm silly for saying this kind of stuff. And there's various people in here who are a lot more mature and are probably out there doing it. But I know every one of us is in different areas of our life where being out there is different. Susie Doe, she's brilliant. A hairdresser, Mrs. Evangelistical. She puts people in her hair in her little chair and then she'll talk to them about God. She is an incredible light in an example of what it means to be a light in that workplace and just openly talking about God and God encounters in a hairdressing seat, which is incredible because that's what we're called to do, to be light in the world in which we live in. Amen. And even if it feels difficult, and I'm sure Susie will tell you, there's probably conversations when it feels a bit awkward and a bit tough. You don't just then bow down to anything for the sake of fitting in, but you'll submit to your King no matter what. Amen. We submit even in the suffering. And trust me, the suffering of these guys is never going to be the suffering you experience. When we talk about the suffering of what we're talking about in here, we're talking about people being killed, martyred, hung, tortured, various things in prison. You know, this is what we have to suffer is a lot easier. It might just be someone saying, nah, you're all right, mate. I don't want to hang around with you. Come on, we can deal with that, right? For the sake of God's glory and his kingdom, we can put up with a few. No, you're all right, mate. I know for me, I want to be a light that shines in darkness, but sometimes I'm going to have to stand up to darkness, which isn't always easy. But we never bow down to anything. We submit to our King. Why? Because we're ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven and we've come from there. Therefore, we do not take off who we are, but we continue in it. Amen. And that's the very next point we're going to look at in Colossians 3, 10 to 17. I think this is another really, really good picture. And again, Paul wrote many of these things. Again, on the subject of representing him well, we're going to look at this scripture in Colossians. And this is very similar to what I mentioned to the youth a couple of weeks ago. So some of the youth, we did a message on putting on the new self. And this is really, really important when it comes to us representing God in our worlds, is that we know how to put on our new self. It says this in verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. That's where we stand today. There's neither this, that, here, there. We are the children of the kingdom of heaven, whether you're from Ghana, whether you're from Nigeria, whether you're from a place in Asia, America. No, you are of the kingdom of heaven this morning. Amen. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. This is really important. The thought of clothing yourself. It's a real simple picture, right? Because we all have done it, because we're all here in clothes. So we all put on clothes this morning. Well, the real simple thing Paul's telling us to do is, in the same way we put clothes on, clothe yourself with this. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And it goes on to speak about various other things. But the thing I want to say is that this morning, you have to put on. You have to put on. You didn't wake up this morning just in your clothes. You had to put on. Funny story. My son, he came up with this little cheat code of how to get up the next morning. And I was like in his bed the other day. And I was like, what have you got on? I looked at, he had full clothes on. He was like, yeah, it's easy. I just have to get up in the morning. I'm like, can't do that, son. You can't do that. It's a great, great effort. But we need to wake up in the morning. We need to put on our clothes for the day, right? We need to get ready for the day. Well, in the same way, don't ever forget to put on the new you. We take time putting on our clothes. We take time making sure we look all right and all that and making sure everything's ready. But do we take time to say, God, fill me. Fill me afresh. Put on compassion, love, gentleness, kindness. Put it on, put it on, put it on. How do we put it on? By bowing the knee to our King. Coming before him in surrender as an ambassador of the kingdom and say, today I submit to the rule and reign of the kingdom of heaven. And now I ask, Lord, put on the compassion over my life. Put on the love. Fill me and fill me. And do you know what he'll do? He'll fill you. And you'll have revival for however long you need it before you've got to get at work, wherever you've got to get to. And then you'll go in the fullness of the new you. Amen. We need to have compassion because the world doesn't have much of it. We need to have kindness because the world doesn't have much of it. Humility, not often found. Gentleness, not much. Patience, none. But we need to bear with one another, forgiving one another. And on all of this, we need to put on love. Why? Because we live in a world that's dry and dead. And there isn't much love out there. Not the love that God wants it to have. The love that's not self-seeking, but thinks of others first. The love that cares more for others than for self. We need to put it on. The greatest thing that I ever read once was in a book called Love is a Choice. It's an incredible book, Christian book, that speaks about love being a choice. It's simple, but phenomenal. Because the reality is, each and every one of us choose every day whether to hate someone or love someone. But God says, choose to put on love. Which means in the strength of God and in the new you, we can walk in the love of God everywhere we go. And love isn't based upon people doing nice things to you. Do you know that? Well, I ain't going to like him. He was horrible to me. No. That's not love. That's treating someone kindly because they treated you kindly. No, love lays its life down even though the person doesn't like them. Jesus did that. That act of love was laying his life down when all of us didn't want to know him. True love would lay its life down. 1 John 4:19 says we love because he first loved us. So we think that, how do I get this love? Well, how do you get this love? By drawing closer to the love that it comes from God, right? So we draw closer to God. God draws closer to us and we're filled with overflowing of love. And every day we put it on. Every day we put it on. If we're going to represent him well in this world, love has to be the answer. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Love is the key, Jesus said, to the whole of the Old Testament. Which is incredible, right? All of those books and all of those psalms and all of those songs and all those prophetic books. Jesus said, well, it's summed up in this. Love that your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul. There it is. That's the key to representing God in your world, is are you living from the love of God? Love doesn't seek self, it seeks God. And it seeks the best for others, amen? So I believe the key to representing God well in our lives is found in two things, and that's in our prayer closet and in reading the word. Because in reading the word, we read about who our Heavenly Father is. And in prayer, we're communicating with our God on a daily basis, growing in relationship with him. Which means when you're growing in relationship with someone, you're walking together in a good way. Amen? So I believe we need to do this. See, revival is never going to start in this room. I started thinking about this week. It's not. We're not going to have a revival because loads of us are gathered. Revival is going to start in your bedroom, in your heart. Because if we're not drawing closer to God in our own private worlds, we can't expect to represent him well in the open world. Amen? If we want to see revival across the city, revival in our land, revival and seeing God shake up our workplaces and our worlds, revival starts in our own heart. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Cause your fire to fall on my heart. That's what I want, and that's what I want for all of us. I want you to take time over this next week. Bear in mind, we've got My Church Sunday, and I know time's run out here, but My Church Sunday, we want to see loads of people come in here and receive the goodness of God, amen? Well, this week, you've got an opportunity to go and live in your world representing God as an ambassador, not bowing down to what the world does, because otherwise you're not going to be the salt and you're not going to be the light. Letting God's light and love shine everywhere you go this week, amen? Inviting people to know the God that you know. Come and see for yourself. The Bible says, come and see, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, I want people to taste our God and see that he is good and worth chasing, amen? But we need to be, as I said, let me just round that up. The salt and light this week, you need to be submitted even when it hurts. And you need to put on the new self in everything you do. So don't just come back next Sunday putting on the new self. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, Tuesday morning when you wake up, in every day that you wake up, of every month, of every year, come before your Heavenly Father and put on, clothe yourself with the goodness of God. Amen? Because we're called to go. And you know, this whole series, this whole message has all been about the evangelistical heart of us reaching our worlds. And I read this great statement this week. In Matthew 28:19-20, we know it's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. We have been called as a church to go. More importantly, you have been called as an individual to go. You have been called as an individual to reach your world. James Hudson Taylor, this incredible quote that I love. If those don't know James Hudson Taylor, He started the China Inland Mission, which in the 1800s he went because he had a heart to go and reach the lost in China. Obviously, it was a country that didn't believe in God at the time. It was a country that probably had not much goodness in it. So he went in the 1800s to reach the Chinese people and the nation of China. And he said this one thing. He said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. It's not an option. The Western world gives us too many options. Oh, I won't do that today. I might do it tomorrow. No, can I encourage you, church? It's not an option. It's a command from your Heavenly Father. So if we're ambassadors of the kingdom, we have been commanded like a general in the front line. Go and reach the lost. The call is there to go and reach. And you say, well, no one else is doing it. James Hudson Taylor and a couple of others went. Not many Christians lived in China. Do you know, I believe statistically, there's over, I think it's over 300 million Christians in China today. Something of that drastic note. Because someone decided to go. What does your go do for the generations after you? And the families that will encounter you and their family line will be blessed because you decided, I'm going to go and be the salt and light of the earth. I'm going to go and represent the kingdom of heaven. Come on, it's a great honor, church. It's a great honor. Come on, stand with me this morning. I just want us to pray, and time has run out, and I just want to commission us to go, to be sent this morning. So two things I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for us. If you've not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray for that in a minute. But initially, I want to pray for anyone that wants to receive just a power, a strength to go this week. I just want us to pray together. As we do this, is that okay? So if you know in your heart, look, Sean, I ain't been going. I've been struggling. I've been struggling in my own strength of going. I don't even feel like going. I struggle when I open my mouth. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon you in a fresh way today. So if that's you and eyes closed in this place, I want us to be focused on God. I just want to pray for anyone that has experienced some kind of insecurity, some kind of struggle with their self-effort in it. That the power of God would overcome you. And that actually you'd have a whole new strength and ability as the Holy Spirit arrests your heart to go into the world. If that's you, just lift your hand for me this morning. If you know you need to go, but you've struggled with it. And actually you've bowed down too long to the darkness. You've tried to fit in rather than stand out because it's easier to fit in than stand out. Father, I just thank you for every hand raised right now. Lord, I pray not by strength, not by might, but by your Spirit. This week would be different. Holy Spirit, I pray for every heart and hand lifted up right now. Cause your power to manifest a fresh way. Cause your strength to manifest a fresh way, Lord, I pray. Cause there to be an overflow of power and strength that wasn't there before to start to flow, Lord. Father, we thank you that as we go, representing the kingdom of heaven, as ambassadors of the kingdom, Lord, we pray that we would see signs and wonders and salvation. We would see hearts turning to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just keep our eyes closed just for a moment. You know, this message has been very much about the church reaching. But I'm conscious that there may be some people here today that have never actually experienced the love of God yourself. And maybe you've come here because someone has invited you. The greatest gift we could ever receive is Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's the gift that brings us to eternity. It's the gift that sets us free from the world's ways of living. It's the gift that brings peace, joy. It's the gift that causes all things to change. Not necessarily outwardly, but inwardly. That where there was no peace, there would be peace. And the Bible says that those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. To be set free, to be made whole, to be delivered. from a power of darkness into a power of light, to be transferred from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of heaven. And all you have to do is believe, the Bible says. Believe and you shall receive. And so I want to invite anyone here this morning that has never said yes to Jesus, has never committed their heart to Jesus. Maybe you've been playing with it for a while. It's been a thing that you've been like, yeah, I think I am a Christian. But no, you've never really made that defining moment that your world was turned upside down for him. Where you said, no, there's no turning back. I'm going full forward with you, God. I'm going to invite anyone into that relationship today where I believe all things will be made new. And I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. And you, the whole church, I just want you to repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. I believe in you, Jesus. And I turn from my old way of living. I make you Lord of my life. I ask you to fill my life with good things. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your joy. Fill me with your freedom. Fill me with your forgiveness. Father, I receive your mercy and grace right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And just while everyone's eye is closed, I just want to invite, if that's you today and you know what, I need to come into connection with Jesus. I need to have this relationship. Can you do something really brave and just lift your hand up? If there's anyone here in the house this morning that's here for the first time, that you just know you need to reconnect back to God. You need to connect and have eternity come and rest within you. Is there any lives here this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, we just thank you for every heart and every life that's reaching out to you. Father, we thank you for every life that needs you more than anything else. Father, I pray right now that you would be everything they need. Fill them afresh, fill their hearts afresh. Father, let us go this week in the fullness of your strength. As ambassadors of the kingdom, let us represent you well in everything we do. Father, I pray love would guide us, love would lead us, and your joy would be our strength this week. That your peace would be our peace, that your love would be our love, and that your freedom would be our freedom. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a shout of praise. Hallelujah.